I'm down now. I'm down.
With the kids.
I'm very much down with the kids. You've met me. You know how down with the kids I am.
I'm more like Abe Simpson. Is it Abe Simpson? Like, I used to be down with the kids, but then they changed. I used to be with it, but then they changed what it was, and
Yeah.
it is now scary. Oh, I've butchered that quote, but it's a great line.
This is the Long Snapper podcast. You know who I am. You know who these people are. Say hello, these people.
Hello.
Hi, Adam. Happy 48th birthday.
It's not my fault. It was. Oh, I see. You're referencing the massive eight behind my head.
Yeah. And we can't see the H and the B off the left hand side of the screen. So I'm assuming that's where the four's hiding.
Yeah, that's.
I assumed that was just an indication of decades.
I mean, I appreciate that you didn't pick a five. I'll take that as a compliment.
I'm not a dick.
Well, no, no. Nate's here for that. We've got all bases covered. It's just the three of us tonight. Although we may have a guest appearance from Mr. Edmonds. He said he might pop on and give us 15 minutes about the Jets. I don't know if we want 15 minutes about the Jets. I'd like 15 minutes of Craig.
Yeah. Take the rough with the smooth, thing. You
have to a little bit in this world. But yeah, so a little intimate gathering, if we could ever be intimate. We have talked about our big Long Snapper podcast house before. So, but
it's somewhat ironic that we have a 100% AFC South podcast on a week that 66% of the call isn't going to want to talk about the AFC South.
Well, it's funny you should say that, Pat, because that thought had occurred to me, and I have prepared a quiz along those lines. Let's get straight into that without any further ado. Pat, for anybody new listening to this show, obviously, huge apologies, etc., as usual. But Pat is a Jags fan, Nate is a Colts fan, and I am a Titans fan. So it would only be right if I gave you both a quiz about the Houston Texans, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
Oh, fuck. I'm now wondering if we've ever really talked about the Texans on this podcast. It doesn't happen very often.
Other than making jokes about how they can't draft and they can't trade. Probably not.
Oh, well, they had Bill O'Brien in charge for a while. So what do you expect?
Referencing that, sorry, change the subject slightly. Not really. I had a trade in fantasy this week, and my the person I traded with got called Bill O'Brien, and now his name on Sleeper is Bill O'Brien.
Fair play.
I like how he embraced it.
So yeah, you have
not,
to.
Not many people would have.
I mean, it's not a compliment.
Not at all.
Yeah, so speaking of the Texans, yeah, well, it's a pretty straightforward quiz. I'm not going to give you any complicated rules. You can buzz in with your name and answer questions. You'll get a point if you get the question correct. If you get it wrong, I'm not going to take points off because I don't feel mean today. But you will be frozen out and the other player will get the question. It is that simple. Because it's you two, there might randomly be some questions about Stevenage FC in the middle of it.
Oh, dangerous.
Interesting.
Not too many that our regular listeners who don't follow Stevenage might lose interest, I hope. It's hard to know where to set the bar on those, but I haven't spent too much time going through the bowels of the internet coming up with them. So we'll see.
It'd be really bad when neither of us can answer those questions, isn't it?
Especially when it's almost like you do a podcast on it, which I gather Greg Kett is joining your team, like, officially.
Yeah, it's not been announced officially, but yeah, he is.
Oh, is it?
It was going to be announced this week.
Would you like me to edit this out in case the three people
listen to the podcast? No, it's fine, because nobody, I can guarantee the only people that listen to both are me and Pat, so...
Since he agreed to it, he hasn't shown up for one, so I'll believe it when it happens.
So you're actually planning to announce it, like, rather than just after a while, it's just he's just part of the furniture, because that's what we've always done.
Well, Pat's come up with a funny line for me to use in the introduction of this first episode as an official member of the team, so we're definitely announcing it.
Oh, okay. Well, if there's a funny line, then you've got to use the funny line.
So. Ah, fuck right, exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, quiz. Let's get into that. Yeah, first question. How else do I start the quiz? Here we go. The Texans' first ever play on offense in their history was an incomplete pass thrown by which quarterback? Just shakes of head. This is going to go well, isn't it?
Very much so. Pat.
Go on, have a guess, Pat.
David Carr.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah.
You were doubting yourself there. The Texans don't have that much history. You don't have to go very far back.
There's going to be a lot of silence from me and Pat taking a while going, yeah, I know the answer.
Just too classy. Just too classy. All right, next up. Which QB has the most passing yards in Texans history? Again, Pat. Remember, it goes back a long way. Pat, that was very much faster.
It was much faster because they said it on a game recently. It was Matt Schaub.
Oh, okay. This could be humiliating for you, Nate, but let's carry on.
It's not humiliating. I genuinely don't want to know this stuff about the Texans.
Fair enough. It's like, I don't want to win this quiz because that would be admitting knowing things about that team that we All right. Who scored the Stevenage goal in the home leg, if you call it that, of their 1998 FA Cup game against Newcastle? Oh, tell me one of you knows this, because if you don't, I might have to try and pronounce it.
Nate.
That was before either of us were watching, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's not my problem.
Grazioli.
Yes, correct. You're on the board. Could you think you could win this quiz just by getting Stevenage questions right?
No, but those are the only points I'm going to get for sure.
All right, and who scored Stevenage's goal in a 3-1 FA Cup replay against Spurs in 2012? Yes, Pat.
Joel Byron penalty.
It was a penalty, yeah.
Yeah,
was that right?
We went one ahead. I was at that game too.
White Hart Lane was sticky. It's my abiding memory.
Oh, White Hart Lane was quiet if it wasn't for the 3,000 Stevenage fans. 30-odd thousand Tottenham fans, fucking silent.
I mean, it's Stevenage, right? Come on. All right, Pat's on three, Nate's on one. Which team did the Texans beat in the playoffs 2 years in a row in 2011 and 2012?
Pat.
Go on, Pat.
Bengals.
You are correct. It's West of us. Who were Stevenage FC's first ever shirt sponsors? I guess they were Stevenage Borough at that point, back in 1985.
Oh, God. Pat.
Go on.
Sun Bank is on some of the oldest shirts I've seen.
It is.
That's not the answer I've got on the card. Necessarily mean that my sources are
I don't know. Sun Bank would have been my guess.
Okay, it was Abbey Life. That might be the same organisation. They've rebadged it, you fool. But no one's getting any points there. John Weeks plays which position on the current Texans roster?
Nate
was first.
I've got no idea, so I'm going to say long snapper.
You're correct. Of course you're correct.
Yes.
By what
you're
other
saying,
name...
saying offensive line.
By what other name was NRG Stadium known up until 2013? It's had two sponsors. Which is the other one? No?
No.
You should... Reliance Stadium, if you remember that.
After the Robin. Nice.
That's a lovely metaphor for the organisation as a whole, isn't it?
Yeah.
Tries to change
direction too fast, it ends up upside down. Yeah.
Get ahead of steam and then just ends up on its roof.
Was it Mr. Bean? Where there was like a running joke where he'd like drive a shove a Reliant Robin off the road and it would just fall over.
Yeah. A blue one.
All right, the Texans Is that the the Texans beat which team 26-3 in their only London game to date in 2019?
Nate.
Yes, Nate.
That was the Jaguars.
Of course it was the Jaguars.
I was at that one as well. It was horrific.
I was at that one as well. In Club Wembley. Lots of free food. It was delicious.
I was probably there, but I can't really remember which games I've been to and haven't. But there you go. Which college was JJ Watt drafted out of in 2011? Any ideas?
No, but Nate.
Go on.
I don't know. I literally don't know. I don't even know if they have a football team, but it's a shit. It sounds like the stupid shit place. Full Sail.
Where?
Full Sail. It sounds like the sort of stupid shit place he'd end up.
No.
No.
Can I have a guess, Pat? Guess a college. Any college.
Michigan.
Are you quite warm? Wisconsin.
Ah, fucking badges.
Yeah, there you go. In which year did Stevenage officially drop the word borough from its name?
Nate.
Yes, Nate.
2011.
Incorrect. Go on, Pat.
Ooh. 2007.
Oh, no. No,
it's like that. 2010.
2010, yeah, you're right. Doesn't get you anything now, though.
It was a 2010-2011 season.
He should have said that then. Running back Arian Foster ended his career at which other team in 2016?
Nate.
Yes, Nate.
The Houston Oilers.
You're a dick.
I think it was the Dolphins.
You get a well-deserved point there, Pat. It was the Dolphins. who has the most career receiving touchdowns for the team with 64?
Nate.
Yes.
Hopkins?
No. So, Pat, you'll get it because it's the other one.
Right.
Sorry, what?
I don't know.
It's Andre Johnson.
Oh, I got the wrong Andre. God damn it.
Scores are Pat's on 5, Nate's on 3. What is the full Stevenage FC postcode?
I know it's SGT.
I'm going to give you half a point for that because it won't help you.
3LE?
No. Pat, actually, guess. No. guess a number and two random letters and see if you get yourself half a point.
I'd have gone SG1.
So well, you'd have looked really stupid then, wouldn't you?
Because I worked virtually next door to it, and that's SG1. Oh. Well, whatever.
Question wasn't where you worked, was it?
There's an eight.
I'm really tempted to give it to you, but I'm not going to. SG2.
8RH.
Wow. You're going to upgrade yourself to a point. Where did that come from? Assuming that there was no skullduggery, of course.
No, because I knew it. It's a while since I've had to remember it. I've had to recall it.
That is extraordinary. A full point. Okay, in which year did the Texans draft Jadeveon Clowney first overall?
Ooh. Pat.
Go on, Pat.
2015?
No, it's not.
Fuck, that's what I was going to say. Do I go one higher or one lower?
They are the two obvious choices here, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Fuck! I'm going to say 14 because I just feel like he's been around that long.
You have just pulled level. This is getting exciting.
Do you know where I got that wrong? Because it's the season before the Hard Knock season and he was out injured, wasn't he, at the start of that next year. But featuring as a sophomore player. God damn.
The good news for you, Nate, is you don't have to show you're working. Against which team did the Texans overcome a 16-point deficit in the 2019 wildcard game to win 22-19?
Pat.
Yes, Pat.
Bills.
It was the Bills. And nice. Against which team did they blow a 24-point lead to lose the following week?
Yeah, Pat.
Yes.
That was the Chiefs.
It was.
Following the blueprint the Titans set, wasn't it?
All right. Who is the current Texans kicker? I think you'll find that we went on to play the Chiefs in the...
Oh, setting the blueprint for the Titans. Sorry, I forgot how you embarrassed yourself. It happens so often.
We were only 10 points ahead in that game. Who is the current Texans kicker?
Nate, is it Fairbairn?
It is Fairbairn. For which Scottish football club did Steve Evans make the most appearances for of his career?
Nate.
Between... Yes.
Hibs?
Incorrect.
Oh, fuck.
Pat, would you like to hear the rest of the question? I'm not sure.
Go on, why not?
I'm not sure it's going to help you. Which Scottish football club did Steve Evans make the most appearances for between 1981 and 84, playing 76 times and scoring 28 goals?
I mean, my knee-jerk reaction was Aberdeen.
That's incorrect as well. It was Albion Rovers.
Of course it was.
He never played for Aberdeen.
Did he play for Hibs?
No.
I've no idea. Literally not got a clue. I did look at his Wikipedia page, but I can't remember it. In their 21 seasons in the AFC South, how many times have the Texans won the division?
Pat.
Go on, Pat.
Six.
That is correct.
Oh, fucking hell.
That is absolutely correct. Brilliant.
Did you know that, or was that a pump?
Knew that.
Wow, that's really good. That gets you some music, because I have run out of questions. So, well done, Pat. Who got the most Stevenage questions right? I think that was you, Nate. So you win the real quiz, arguably. Can you throw a shoe over a pub? Of the two of you, I'd probably back you, actually. It came down to throwing a shoe over the pub.
It's definitely the bigger guns.
I wouldn't get up in Pat's face and have a rant about being from the school of Ardnocks and that's all of that though. Please don't liken me to Chris Finch. my favorite thing from The Office does involve Chris Finch though. It's when in the Christmas specials when David Brent gets in his face and says, "Chris, why don't you fuck off?" And then just walks through him and Neil. Such a lovely payoff for all the shit that Finch does throughout the rest of the series.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
I know the moment you mean. He plays that really well.
Oh, fantastic, yeah.
I can't remember the actor's name, but it doesn't matter. It matters even less than anything we're talking about. Should we get straight into reviewing some games?
Should we do some OSRs?
Yeah, OSRs, catchy. Let's just call them that. It's because it is catchy. Right, OSRs. Starting with Denver 8, Kansas City 19.
Kansas continue to underwhelm, but also continue to win, so they probably won't care. Denver continue to be embarrassingly terrible and are rightly furious about it.
Baltimore 24, Tennessee 16.
The London series comes to an end as the Ravens' Justin Tucker kicks the Titans to the curb.
Best surprised. Washington 24, Atlanta 16. Arthur Smith looks as though he's about 2 weeks from just going out there himself to play quarterback. Minnesota 19, Chicago 13.
From top to bottom, the Bears really do suck.
It's true. Seattle 13, Cincinnati 17.
Seattle scored a touchdown on their first drive of the game, but only managed 2 field goals after that, and that isn't going to be enough against the increasingly healthy Bengals.
San Francisco 17, Cleveland 19. You can call for the kicker's head all you want, you can blame injuries if you like, but sometimes weird games like this just happen. Side note, where's Rich this week? New Orleans 13, Houston 20.
CJ Stroud continued his impressive rookie season and led the Texans to a tough-fought win over the Saints.
Indianapolis 20, Jacksonville 37. Same old Minshew, always finding Jags players to throw to. Carolina 21. You should see his face. Carolina
20. I feel like you've stolen something I said in a group on Sunday, you bellend.
Dev, I thought I said it. I said something along those lines. Carolina 21, Miami 42.
Carol America. Carolina made this interesting, running out to a 14-point lead before Miami overwhelmed them. There's something very satisfying about an exactly doubled score.
So, Pat. Eddie, New England 17, Las Vegas 21.
A gaggle of former Patriots patrioted the Patriots in this one to move the Raiders to 500 regular season victories and to deny Bill Belichick his 300th victory. Fuck the Patriots. Why can none of us speak?
Did you say Patrick instead of Patriots?
Patriots, I was going to say. Patriots.
Where are we? Detroit 20, Tampa Bay 6.
If Baker had a good Baker Day, this could have been a close and interesting game. Alas.
Arizona 9, LA Rams 26. Maybe, just maybe, the Rams are actually all right. Not just saying this for Craig's benefit, but as long as Stafford is upright, they're going to be competitive. Philadelphia 14, New York Jets 20.
Impressive resilience from the Jets, who were mostly excellent on defense despite a lot of injuries in the secondary. They helped the offense enough to get them over the line against an Eagles side who continue to underwhelm.
New York Giants 9, Buffalo 14. I'm sure Mark loved the fact that Tyrod Taylor's stupidity was a big part of this game going the way it did. None of us can talk. Dallas 20, LA Chargers 17.
Dak Prescott recovered from arguably his worst game against the Niners with the solid performance as the Cowboys rallied in the 10-point fourth quarter as the defensive former saw out the victory with a Parsons sack and a Gilmore interception.
Here we go.
There you go. Once OSR's done. I enjoyed that game Monday night. Well, Tuesday morning for me.
I never enjoy watching the Cowboys win.
Yeah, but it was... I don't care enough to even hate them. Well, nobody likes the Cowboys, but...
I feel like I would probably dislike them anyway, but because Alan, like my best mate of 20 years, is a Cowboys fan and like he's insufferable at the best of times. It just takes my hatred of them to a whole extra level.
That's fair enough.
He's so smug.
That's why you pick the Cowboys. They just attract each other.
It does fit, you're right. But it was one of those contests where there were lots and lots of moments where you just felt one team was getting on top. And as soon as you felt that, the other team would make a big play. And I love those sort of games. And you don't want it to happen where one team gets on top and you know that the other one's going to capitulate. But it just felt like whenever the Chargers were in a hole, like Herbert would just find a pass on second and 28 to Keenan Allen or whatever, and then the Cowboys would do the same. Like, and it culminated in that sack for they hadn't sacked Herbert all day, and then Parsons got to him right at the end when they needed it.
Just as the commentator said, Mika Parsons has had a quiet day. We haven't seen him much. Mash!
Yeah.
Smashed his face in.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like that happens a lot. That happens a lot in the NFL. There was a drive that the Colts were putting together, and whoever the dickhead on commentary was saying, this is, you know, the Colts are finally putting something together, really good here. They're moving the chains, they're getting going, and then literally, bang, 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 loss of yards on three consecutive plays, out, drive done it. And he even goes, I guess that's the curse of the commentator.
Well, it's the same
prick.
It's Spiro that is who it was. And he called the Colts-Titans game last week, and he kept saying how the Titans hadn't allowed a 100-yard rusher in. And of course, what happens?
And it was Zach Moss as well to like really compound the frustration, right?
Well, I guess. I mean, I didn't really care who it was, quite frankly. But
I mean, you wouldn't be surprised if it was Jonathan Taylor, but it wasn't. It was.
It was the
guy that the Bills traded us because he's not great.
Well, he looks all right, to be fair.
Oh, he was fucking good. He was fucking good that week. Not really done anything else since or before, even. But
not being consistent. Imagine that from the AFC South.
that should be the tagline of the AFC South. Not being consistent.
My favorite Spiro Deeds quote of the game was:
"How do you say? Is it Deeds or Dedes? I don't really know.
Good question." Irrelevant, but good. He said, this puts the Colts in a tough spot as they try to protect a 21-6 lead. So I've got bad news for you, mate. I know you've got an agenda, but
I sat through the entire game purely because Pat gave me pelters for fucking off when the Colts were getting battered a couple of weeks ago before half time, and then coming back and enjoying the comeback. I was like, right, well, if Pat can fuck off, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to suffer through this.
I felt the second half as well.
I feel that sometimes it's just a sense of duty. But also, you only get 17 games a year to watch as an NFL fan. And occasionally something bonkers does happen.
Sometimes it's just not worth sticking it out.
I do feel like that at times, but I generally do. What I wanted to talk about today, amongst a few other things, was, is anybody in the NFL actually any good?
Yeah. Yes.
But there are. I don't think there are many. It just feels as if, just as, like.
Right. Let me pop quiz.
Yeah.
There's something that's said. There's a typical phrase in, certainly in football, as in proper football.
Almost temporary class is permanent.
No.
Any given Sunday?
No, I said proper football.
Okay. Any
but
given
you play
Saturday?
With your feet, not your hands. No. What is the mark of a champion?
Winning ugly, right?
Playing shit, grinding out wins. The Chiefs are doing that this season. They did it last season. They're doing it certainly early on. They did it last season. They're doing it this season. I would say the 49ers are good. And I'd say the Eagles are good. I'd even go as far as saying the Lions are good. Good teams, no, there aren't many. But I don't think there are ever that many, right? Like even when the Steelers went 11-0, did you ever really feel, yeah, they're really good? Or did you think they've got a really easy schedule this year? They're playing lots of shite. I always thought they look beatable. And they were never at the level that I thought like the Chiefs have been for the last 5-6 years. I didn't think they were as good as like the Bills. I didn't think they were as good as a number of teams in the league. Whereas now I think the Chiefs, 49ers, Eagles, Lions are there or thereabouts. The Lions are weird because I think they are a good team, but they've always got a hiding in them. Like they're going to take a hiding somewhere and you won't be surprised. And I don't know whether that's just because it's the Lion and they've been a whipping boy of the league for so long. But certainly there are four good teams. I mean, there are more than four good teams, but these are the four that I think are going to show over the next 2 or 3 weeks that they are above the rest.
The Lions are the only 5-1 team to have beaten a 5-1 team. So we need to be taking them more seriously than we are, I think. The only scary team is the 49ers until this week when they looked blunted, but you know, they lost a lot of players in that game, so it's perhaps not surprising.
A lot of things went wrong for them in that game. I think we'll come to that. I think it was just a wider point, really. It just feels a bit worse this year. And there might be nothing in it. I don't know.
I know what you mean, and I've got a theory for that.
Oh, okay. Go on.
It feels like a lot of there are far more big players getting injured now than we're used to seeing. I think the last couple of weeks has been particularly bad for big players going down hurt and leaving games and going on to IR. And maybe I'm just noticing it because my fantasy team's been fucking ravaged the last couple of weeks. But like, you know,
every cloud.
I'm still going to finish above you, you prick.
I should warn you, that's the second mention of fantasy in a podcast and there's three strikes and you're out.
Yeah, I'll go along with that. Nobody cares.
Let me just change my notes for later.
I mean, you're not out because then there'll be two of us.
A, we're desperate. B, I don't have any jurisdiction.
But I think I have absolutely no legitimate data to back up my theory, so maybe we can put it in the realms of conspiracy theory. But it just feels like there are a lot more injury early season, like injuries that are significant enough to put a lot of big players on IR, and it is a problem. You know, we've seen CMC go down. We don't know how bad that's going to be. Trevor Lawrence got injured. We don't know how bad that's going to be. And Anthony Richardson, I mean, we know how bad that is because it looked like it was 4 weeks.
I thought you said big players going down.
Shut up, you bell end. But like that could be season injury ending. Justin Jefferson is the Vikings' entire offense. You've got that unknown running back in Miami, Arcane or a chain or whatever the fuck, however they pronounce it. He's gone down. He's on IR. Aaron Rodgers. I mean, there's no reason why he should be back on a field having mulled his. I think they're lying. I think they're lying about how bad his injury is. I think it's a PR stunt.
I was waiting.
Because there's no way.
Hold on. I'm waiting just in case Craig turns up because I really want to ask him about exactly this.
All right, I'll stop doing that.
Speculate.
But you know what I mean? There are fucking tons of big, good players going down a hurt for significant lengths of time this season. Connor's out for a chunk. They might not be like the headline biggest, absolute best players in the league in lots of cases, but they're on their roster, on their teams. Those are all massively important players. And it just seems like there's a lot more of them this season.
And from everything everyone's telling us, this is the first year they've used artificial turf in the NFL. And so they're all getting hurt because of that. Maybe. But there's always injuries. There were some big ones. I think there are always some big ones. I've not got any facts.
It just doesn't feel like there's as many as there have been this year. That's my perception of it. Maybe it's just because I'm more aware of it because of how it's affected either my team or me. I'm not mentioning it.
So what you're saying is you're doing worse than normal in fantasy. So who knows?
But I'm just that's heightened my awareness of the issue. Perhaps.
There might be something in that. I don't know. I mean, in our Titans WhatsApp after Sunday, sort of lamenting how bad we looked, which as we've done four times this year in six games. But it got me thinking, as I watched some other games later, and there are quite a lot of teams that are just as shit as us, if not worse. And I went through them. And I came up with 20 teams that I could make an argument that are in the ballpark of where the Titans are or worse.
Yep.
And it shocked me. Like I was expecting to come up with maybe eight. And I went through the league and I came up with 20. Like I'm not
every
saying
week
I'm right.
You go through
about
the reviews and you think, oh, this game, oh, this game, oh, this game. Oh. And then there's one or two that stand out, but there's a lot of mid. In the middle that doesn't really inspire at the moment. And that's not typical, I don't think.
So if
unless I'm just looking back with roast into glasses.
No, I think I'm with you. And if you've got 21 shit teams in the NFL, that means you've got 11 left and you're going to have three of those 21 make the playoffs. So look forward to that. They're all going to be in the NFC, by the way.
Who will be this year's Giants?
Yeah. Well, we're going to have three of them. By my dodgy maths. Now I'm including one or two teams that you could debate in that, but like there are a lot. I'm not. This doesn't make me feel any better about things. I'm just just kind of making that point. So it's all a bit strange, and it's hard to know. Like just when you think they look all right, and then they've shit the bed the next week. Like, you get it with weeks one and two, but we've had 6 weeks now, and it just, things don't seem to be settling down as maybe they normally would.
No. I think the good thing about this week's results was the whole AFC South is comfortably better than the NFC South is being challenged, and that feels a bit less challenged after this week because, you know, I like to cling on to a narrative as long as I can.
Especially when we're playing that division. Yeah, that Falcons beating the Texans a week ago looked a bit weird based on what we thought we knew. So you start to show you don't trust either of those teams.
Yeah. There's still no reason to after what we saw this week.
One other, I'll come back to some of the games specifically. The London games are done for another year. The one game at Wembley, good, yeah. And two at Spurs. The Colts have yet to have their international series game coming up in Germany. The Dolphins, Chiefs, they've lucked out those Germans, haven't they?
Yeah, Germany got a good one. That's not fair. They send us over trash every year.
I mean, they did. They have got Colts versus the Pats as well. That's fucking horrendous.
That is second.
That game
is
vile. And I've only ever seen one Colts victory over the Patriots. So I'm not excited, even though the Patriots are genuinely fucking dog shit. The Colts will find a way to lose that game.
Do you remember how every year they branded that fixture? It's Brady Manning 9.
No.
And if they'd stick the Roman numerals up, it's Brady Manning IX this year.
Oh, it's so cringy, isn't it? Fuck off, America.
Back to this.
The entire country just gets pelters.
I'd like a StubHub comparison from Frankfurt on what tickets are going for Chiefs Dolphins and then versus what they're going for Colts Patriots. But back to the London games. It was the only one I went to this year. Pat, you went the week before to Tottenham as well. Ignoring the game itself for a moment, like, I still enjoy it. It's much better at Tottenham than it is at Wembley. Which we said a week ago, didn't we? When Mark was here as well. But like some of the NFL UK marketing and spin they put on it is tiresome, and some of the stuff that's going on there is tiresome. But I, on the whole, enjoy it. The atmosphere was decent. Like, I don't know how that comes across on TV, but I think it's better at Tottenham than Wembley because it's a bit smaller and you feel more part of it. But
Tottenham for a stadium that feels so, I don't know if big's the right word, maybe grand. It feels grand, and impressive. It does feel rather intimate when the whole stadium is,
yeah, definitely
on its feet and. It is engaged, and I've been to both the old Wembley and the new Wembley several times, and the old Wembley was fantastic as a place, but even then the atmosphere was never that exciting, whereas I think at Spurs I think the atmosphere is sensational. I've only been once but it was just fantastic. And what I have seen in both Premier League, FA Cup, Champions League and NFL games on television, it always feels like there's a really good atmosphere, even though the NFL games, the atmosphere does feel more relaxed because it's more sort of partisan. Obviously, with Spurs games, it's very us versus them, as all football stadiums in the UK should be. But where the crowd's more partisan, it does feel more relaxed, but it doesn't necessarily diminish how exciting and how good the atmosphere is. It's just different. It's enjoyable.
It felt like one thing I think is changing a bit is the number of tickets that are going to all 32 teams. Now, you're still seeing all 32 jerseys if you look hard enough. But you're seeing more and more these days, the teams that are playing in the actual game are dominating more. That so people felt, are being a bit more choosy about maybe not necessarily going to every single game.
Yeah, that certainly felt like this is the first year where I felt like, oh, those games feel like the fans have turned up and really are representing their team. I haven't felt that before. Mm. And it's nice. It's good. It's ideal, in fact.
I don't really know what the future is. I don't feel that.
Goodell saying, oh, you know, having the Jags here 2 weeks in a row is not just an experiment to see whether we can have a team, but possibly two. Get fucked. Not a chance. We will never see I don't think we'll ever see a London-based franchise. Not a chance. The logistics are just not possible.
I mean, yeah. I see...
You need...
They'd have to be in the UK for half their season. The only way it could work is they'd have to be here for the first or the second half of their season, and they'd have to have home game, home game, home game, home game, home game, all in a row. And that would never work for ticket sales. It might work the first season, but beyond that, it would never work. You couldn't have them flitting between the US for, say, 2 weeks, then the UK, maybe a month and month, because the logistics on that are fucking horrendous. It's so unworkable. They'd even need two sets of all equipment, a base in the UK that's packed up literally 10, 11 months of the year. And then they would need like a central base, probably in like Kansas somewhere, to operate from week to week when they're in the States. But it's you couldn't have them on the road and at home half the season in a go, like each go. Yeah. It's just not possible. It's sensationally stupid. I think we could see a return maybe in like 10 years when there are more NFL games over here. We could see a return of some kind of competition based in Europe. Yeah. Smaller. I don't see why that's not possible.
I could see a world where a team like the Jags plays 5 or 6 games in Florida a year and 2 or 3 here. I could see that kind of a world.
That's already happening.
It's already starting to happen. Yeah. It showed me what, like, it boggles my mind just how many, like, how difficult the logistics must be of getting not just a team, but all the personnel. Like, they're chartering planes to do it. Now, they charter planes to travel around the States anyway. But it didn't... Just from chatting to some of the Titans guys about the arrangements, it did kind of seem like the way they were talking about it, it just felt a bit normal to them now. So the Ravens did it differently. They came over on Monday and they're here all week, so there's probably a lot more involved in that. But the Titans came over, they chartered a plane from Nashville to Heathrow, which left Thursday afternoon, Nashville time, arrived here 6:30 in the morning at Heathrow. They'd slept some on the plane, then they went straight to the hotel. They had a bit of practice in the afternoon, bit of practice Saturday, game Sunday, flew a plane out of Stansted at 9 o'clock on Sunday evening. The first round of the games from Red Zone hadn't even finished, and it's wheels up out of Stansted straight back to Nashville. They're there when you're waking up on Monday morning, they're already back.
Yeah,
and
for a visiting team. Certainly on the way back, just straight after the game, fucking get on that plane, get out.
Like they've maybe changed the body clock slightly, but they've not adjusting them by 6 hours in that time. And it just they're talking about it just like it's a trip to Seattle or something. They're not
it's the
really
same distance,
it.
London to Seattle. Sorry, yeah, Bills not far to off, Seattle yeah. versus Bill. No, Jaguars to Seattle versus Bills to London is the same. That's what Jags fans were saying when the Bills are complaining about the distance they have to travel, and I butchered remembering it.
Yeah.
There are ways that you can work it so that it doesn't fuck your body size, your body clock up. There are ways that you can work it so that you can remain competitive. I don't think flying out on Thursday is that. I think the Ravens were I think they did a better job of coming out on a Monday.
They learned from the high thing they took the first time.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. But I've also seen that some of the data on this is a bit inconclusive. Like, teams have had different approaches and different things have worked.
Of course,
sometimes
of
it's
course,
just better just about who's the better team on the day.
Exactly.
The Titans, I don't think, lost because we turned up on the Friday. I think we lost because the Ravens were better.
It's normally the case, isn't it?
But yeah, it shows that these things are possible as part of a routine. Yeah, if the Jags are flying to Seattle, they're not going on the Monday and spending the week there.
No.
So
they have a different West Coast drill to an East Coast drill already in place.
And this is how it'll be.
Yeah, I think, I think the teams flying over to the UK, if there was a UK-based UK-based team, I think those teams, actually the logistics of them coming over isn't that bad. I think the logistics for having a team over here, that's what's horrendous.
Yeah.
And like I said, for ticket sales, it's just fucking awful. I mean, one, you'd have to go Spurs 1 week, then you can't play there next week because Spurs are there, so then you'd have to go Wembley, and then you might have to go Twickenham, and you might have to move around. So you're not even going to have a home base for 8 weeks in a row.
Well, you say,
And that could actually help ticket sales wise. But how many people, one, have the fucking disposable income to do eight NFL games in a row? Because they're not cheap tickets. They're not.
No.
To do eight home games in a row, and how many of them? I don't know many people that would go, yeah, I'm going to go for all of them. I genuinely don't. Would you go? Would you make a real effort to go to see all eight
Not
Jags
if it's
games?
A team I don't give a shit about.
Yeah. And after the hiding the Jags took against the Texans the next year, I was like, do you know what? I'm not sure I really want to drop 200 quid on that day out. I think I'll just have a rest this year.
Exactly.
That's,
and
that's one
a,
game.
That's a fantastic point as well. It's not just the ticket, is it? It's the travel. You might make less of a day out of it, but you still get yourself to London. Food, at the very least, you're eating one meal, even if you're just grabbing a burger at the ground. You know, they're not cheap, particularly if you're at fucking Wembley. At least at Spurs, the food's decent, even if it is a little bit pricey. It's fucking nonsense, is what it is. It just can't happen.
Yes, I don't want it to. This is all right how it is.
Yeah,
it is
fine.
I love the fact that they have games over here, and the fact that they're having more games internationally. I think it's fantastic for the sport. I love it. I don't want too many though.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. I quite like
four or five games.
I like the fact of a couple in Germany as well.
Yeah, like, brilliant. Because at the end of the day, it means there's more tickets in the UK for you fans in the UK, because you haven't got loads of fans from all over Europe coming into the UK to have it. And that can only be a good thing for us getting tickets.
I don't know. There are a lot of German Titans, believe it. Like, you would not believe how many they're their official fan club.
I struggle to believe that there are as many Titans fans as there are, full stop, let alone being in Germany.
There really are. It's mind-blowing. There's more Ravens fans, it would seem. But anyway. All right, next question on my agenda. We don't always have an agenda. I've got an agenda. I don't know if I want to do this.
I feel like you've always got an agenda.
Which is worse right now, being a Colts or a Titans? I don't want to do this. Do we have to do this? Which is worse, being a Colts or a Titans fan?
Who decided we're doing this?
Yeah. It's a bit shit at the moment, isn't it?
I wrote some notes on this.
Okay.
Sorry, I wrote a sentence.
That might be enough.
It's a tough one, but historically, it was definitely worse to be a Titans fan. But the last decade in Indy has been fucking bleak.
Yeah, I'll give you the... No, I won't give you the 90s. I'm giving me the 90s. You can have the noughties and the first half of the... Well, basically, till Andrew Luck retired. That's what it boils down to.
Yeah.
Then I can get
The last couple of years of Andrew Luck even was fucking horrible.
He was
injured for all of it. And then he had that season where he came back and he was like, oh God, football's exciting again. We're winning games because we're good. Oh, this is great. And then
he quit half-time in the preseason game or whatever it was.
He played hurt and it got announced. I don't blame Luck for retiring when he did. I blame the cunt who decided to announce it at half-time during a Colts game. Whoever that cunt is that leaked it should never work in media again. Fucking arsehole.
I have to say...
Probably Dan Dickich. He's a cunt.
I loved Andrew Luck appearing on whatever game it was dressed as Captain Andrew Luck.
Oh, fantastic. The Colts read it. There's people have two opinions of Luck. He's a cunt for abandoning us, or I love him. There's no in-between. Absolutely no
the idiots and the people who are right.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Exactly that. And he, yeah, and just hit. I'm obviously in the former, in the latter, sorry, not the former, the latter camp. Love him to bits, still love him. He was a truly, truly brilliant talent, and I fucking despise Grigson for the shit offensive line he put in front of him, because it did crush his ability to play the game. And then actually ruined his love of the game, and that's ultimately why he quit when he did. Him coming out as Captain Andrew Luck was just sensational. And I'd love it if he was genuinely him running that account. That would just be too good. So in my head, he does run that account.
That would be a great twist.
Oh, phenomenal.
And it turns out that Boris Johnson ran the parody Boris Johnson account, etc. No, maybe not.
No.
I don't know which is worse right now, though. It's a bit bleak for both of us.
Right this second, it's swung back to Titans, I think.
It's a bit fickle. It's going to be a bit fickle.
You've got less to be hopeful for the future right this second, because you've got a quarterback that's on his last legs in Tannehill, and you've got two shit quarterbacks. Admittedly, they could, one of them or both of them could end up coming good. I don't believe it.
Malik Willis won't.
Neither of them have, like, one of the worst players
I've ever seen in my entire life.
Neither of them have looked like they're going to pull up trees. So that's a real big question mark over your future.
Well,
that's
at the, question at the mark moment,
that I feel like Indy may have moved past. Obviously, the injury is that, oh, God, protect yourself, you prick, because we've actually got an offensive line that can, to a greater extent than they ever did for Andrew Luck, protect him. But now he's got to do the same. And, you know, he's doing the Joey Burrow from the first year, where he doesn't know how to slide and he's putting himself in positions where he's getting hurt. But he doesn't have the arm talent that Joe Burrow does. So that's a problem. Certainly at the moment, he doesn't have that arm talent. Maybe it's not arm talent necessarily, because he does have quite a nice deep ball, but it's the brain, the processing of the game, the reading of the game is not at the level that you want it to be, which is then putting him into some of these dodgy situations, which has then led him to probably have to have season-ending surgery.
Feels a bit like Mariota vibes a little bit, but he's got a better arm than Mariota ever did.
And I think he's a better runner than Mariota as well.
It's very early days, isn't it? But yeah, I get what you're saying about the optimism completely.
I'm excited for the first time in about 8 years as a Colts fan.
But you're going to have to watch the rest of the season with Minshew.
It's tempered. I mean, until this weekend, Minshew's been good. Not great, but he's been good. You know, we've put a lot of good drives together under Minshew.
You win some games with Minshew.
I've always said Minshew's one of those players that he will win you a few games, but he's going to lose you a couple as well, and they're going to be the ones you really don't want to lose. Like yesterday. Not yesterday.
We'll be... like I can see, like, we're probably both going to finish the season like 6 wins or 5 wins or something, and that's worse.
I think we're going to do a little bit better than that, but not massively. I don't think we're gonna have the same record even close. I think you're gonna struggle more than we are for the rest. Personally,
maybe
very good chance of me being very wrong on that.
It might depend how much we see from Malik Willis from our side. The problem is that Titans fandom and Titans media are now saying. And I'm sort of with them on this.
Bench Tannehill.
Well, not some of them are. Some of them have been doing that for years constantly. But some of them are saying, if Tannehill's hurt, I want to see Levis. And mostly the reason for that is we haven't seen Levis yet. So we haven't seen him get it wrong. We've seen plenty of Malik Willis showing he can't play. So we don't know for sure that Levis can't play. So that's what we need to see next. And I kind of get it.
Are you on two wins at the moment?
Yeah. Yeah. It's,
so I, you're probably already lost your chance at the first overall pick then. Because the Panthers are on zero, and there's a couple of teams like the Pats and the Broncos.
The funny thing about the Panthers being on zero,
someone else on one.
The hilarious thing about the Panthers is that they might end up with that first pick overall, but it's not theirs; it's Chicago's.
Yeah.
So if Chicago they might not be far behind. Chicago could have the first two picks of the draft next year.
If I was Matt Eberflus, I would be saying to my GM, trade Fields now. Trade him. Get him out of the building. Take literally almost anything you can get for him. Just get him out of the building. Let's tank our way to one and two. And let's fucking burn it down and properly do this again. Now, it's a very, very unlikely to happen, but that's the only way I see this organization going forwards with any hope in the next couple of years. And I like Fields. I still think that he's got potential. He needs
better
players around him.
They could wind up with one or two wins with Fields, like the way they've been playing.
Yeah. I don't think there's a lot of what goes wrong in Chicago that is Fields' fault.
We're taking a while to actually get to any discussion about week six football. But this is more fun just talking about things that are shit.
Is there any point? Do we need to talk about much week six football? It was a shit week of football.
It wasn't all shit. As I said, I enjoyed the Cowboys-Chargers game. I wanted to bring up a play from that game, partly because I watched it on the Game in 40 and was a bit baffled. Game in 40, which was edited better, I thought.
Some of it.
Are they listening?
Maybe. I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves here. But the punt, and if you've watched all of the plays in that game, you'll know the punt I mean. A fair catch was waved for. And what it looked like on first glance that the fair catch was interfered with. And I've forgotten which way round it was, which team did the punting and the fair catching. I think it was a Chargers punt recovered by the Chargers, but it turned out to be a muff, technically.
a Chargers punt recovered by the Chargers. It's always nice when that happens, isn't it?
Yeah. But it baffled me a bit because it looked as though it was interference on the guy trying to make the fair catch, but I think it was maybe his own teammate was shoved into him, and then it
does
didn't. But I don't think it
does that count as interfering with the fair
catch. If it's your own,
apparently not.
But if you push an opponent into the,
I'm not sure.
If you make a legal block on a guy and that causes him to go into a guy who's signaled to a fair catch, tough shit.
That's what happened, right?
Monday night.
But then the other thing about
it's good to know. I hope we see more players then forcing that.
Don't stand too close to him, otherwise I'm going to blast you into him.
I mean, if you're punting to Kyle Phillips of the Titans and he waits for a fair catch, you don't need to interfere with him. He'll drop it anyway.
Just let him hit it in the visor.
But so what then happened is I don't think the ball touches the guy trying to make the fair catch. So the punt should just be downed. But then, of course, all hell breaks loose and the Cowboys panic because they think it's a live ball. So then one of their players touches it, I think, is what happened.
Yes, it touched Talbot, but he didn't recover it, and it got knocked away from him by the long snapper. Big up the long snappers.
Yeah.
And then recovered by the Chargers.
Is it weird that I enjoy little weird plays like this?
No, it's because there's nothing more satisfying than watching a team you don't like fuck up.
And I like a play where a guy tackles a guy by throwing one of his teammates into it. It's kind of an extension of that. It's good when that happens from a defensive lineman, and it's good on special teams as well.
It all felt a bit unlucky for them, but then they shouldn't have panicked. So there you go. Another bit of quirky officiating weird stuff. The Bills-Giants game. So there were two things in this game that...
Is it quirky or is it shit?
I think it's shit, but I can kind of see there was unusually... I was watching the Florio Chris Sims show and they were talking about this. So the plays at the end, pass interference, rightly called, unsigned down.
Yep.
Next play, pass interference, should have been called, wasn't. Game's over. Now, their take was, well, actually, if you're a defense and you keep doing that again and again and again, eventually the officials are going to think to themselves, we can't keep throwing flags. Like, we just can't. Like, it's good.
No, but they should. No, but they should follow the fucking rules.
They should.
Throw some stones.
They should, but they don't. Because they're human beings.
This isn't even a debate. This should never be a debate. The rules are there. If there's a PI, fucking call it. End of.
What I would say though is, why aren't the Giants just running it up the gut?
Oh, because they're fucking stupid.
But like, you've got to.
Who's like, a play? Who's
I know.
A play
I know it was. I know it's poor officiating, and I agree with you completely on this. But like, come on. There's always a chance that this can happen. You're far more surely from the 1 yard line. You're far more likely. It's one play.
Well, that's what they thought at the end of the first half, and it was the wrong decision then. And they reacted to that wrong decision by making the wrong decision at the end of the second half as well, which was just doubling down in classic Giants fashion.
Very, very different situation. And that was the other thing I wanted to mention was that the Tyrod Taylor. So apparently he was given a pass in his headset and checked to a run because he saw a defense that he liked. You're an idiot, Tyrod. Like that, you can. No wonder Brian Daboll looked like he was going to kill him, and he may have killed him. I don't know at the time of recording. He may have killed him since. So it might be when you listen to this podcast, the death of Tyrod Taylor has been announced, and then Brian Daboll's possibly been taken into custody for it. But how stupid can you get? And how much? And there's this argument with the Kyle Phillips muff punt. Is there are idiots blaming Mike Vrabel for not coaching him and telling him to leave it alone and telling him to just bounce into the end zone and let it go to half time? Like, you can only coach a player so far. If they're that brain dead, you've got to have some. Like, this guy is, I know he's not the starting quarter, like first choice quarterback for the Giants, but he's done it enough in the league. He's been around enough. Like, you've got to have some responsibility, something between the ears to that. They probably go on to win that game with how well their defense was playing and how off the Buffalo offense was playing, but they didn't because of that. And some shit officiating. Like, one of those two things is different. The Giants come out of that with a win, which nobody would have thought possible. I don't know why I'm getting so angry. It's the Giants.
It was a game where both sides didn't do enough to win a normal game, but one of them had
that's
fair. And it was the Bills. It's ugly for the Giants because, aside from Barkley, what have they got? I mean, the receiving game, Waller, we saw a little bit, but he doesn't really look that arsed. Rondale Morrison, maybe? Morrison? What am I talking about? You know what I mean. Rondale Moore. Rondale Moore's the Cardinals guy. That little fast dude. He's all right. Darius Slayton got like three down the field efforts, but it's so, I don't know, patchwork and not reliable.
Yeah, so much anger about a team that I don't think any of us really like. 49ers, they lost as well. Cleveland did their best to prevent that by being stupid themselves.
Well, I think Cleveland did their best to prevent football breaking out, right? It's one of those games. Cleveland got in the Niners' heads before a ball was kicked, and it descended into a farce. It was I didn't watch a game in 40 for this one. Actually, I've watched very few game in 40s this week. I've watched the highlight, the 10 minute, a couple of 10 minute highlight packages and a couple of 2 minute highlight packages. but it was a fucking, this one's a fucking farce. And
have you noticed how the short highlights on Game Pass are always exactly 5 minutes? Just change it a bit. Some games you might want 10. You just need one. That's enough.
There were 3 weeks in a row last year that the Colts highlights didn't even reach 3 minutes.
Oh god, that's sad. That's so sad.
Yeah, that was pretty fun. But no, it's a shocker of a game. Niners just, maybe it was a hangover from the week before and the shambles of like surrounding the game and the against the Cowboys, but it was just nonsense from start to finish. The Browns as an organization should be wound up and binned, full of absolute scumbags, and the fan base is more or less the same. So yeah, they lucked out and fuck them.
I'm just Rich isn't here, so I'll deputize for him. Well, after Crystal Palace game, I thought I'd that's Jesus Christ, what am I doing? He will say he'll go, yeah, but the Niners, we've got all these injuries, we're so unlucky. Christian McCaffrey went down, Debo Samuel went down. Sometimes you just,
the Niners practice squad should be capable of beating the Browns.
Exactly. They should have won that game regardless of any of that. And even blaming the kicker.
Walker, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, you've got to overcome these things. Having said that, who gives a, it's 5-1 for them.
Yeah, who gives a fuck? Exactly.
Like they'll sort themselves out. Have they got, I think it might be
exactly. They're still gonna finish the season with 3, maybe 4 losses at worst. Like,
no, they're not on the. I mean, they are on the bye. They've got the Vikings next week.
You're just gonna move on from it, aren't you? You're just gonna move on from it. It's one of those mark of champions. Sometimes you're shit when you're still good. It happens. Move on.
Starting to think that Craig's not showing up. Eagles. Not. Eagles lost to the Jets.
And that's all we're gonna talk about. That.
I do want to hear your theory on Aaron Rodgers, though.
It's bullshit. There's not a chance that he's done anything like the ACL and MCL and fucking various ligaments that he's supposedly fucked. If he's back on the pitch, moving about, throwing the ball, it's just not happened. Someone his age doesn't recover from that quickly. Not a chance.
Well, back next week? I don't know what his designation is.
That's a year-long injury. Because the rehabilitation from an ACL, I can't even remember exactly what he did, but there were multiple fucking ligaments apparently ruptured or torn or whatever.
But some of the injuries, you can walk on it pretty much. Well, you can walk on it when it happens. Like, even like you do in ACL, you can still hobble a bit.
I did my ACL as a teenager, and I can tell you now, as a teenager, that was a long fucking rehab to get back to a point where
I could play
fucking sports again. There's not a chance that motherfucker, that old motherfucker, plays again this season if they were being honest about his injury. Oh, it was Achilles, wasn't it? Actually, his Achilles. That's what actually went.
Yep.
Yeah. That's still. The Achilles is even worse because you can recover properly from an ACL injury. Achilles never heals the same. I mean, the ACL doesn't heal exactly the same, but it's easier to recover from. The Achilles doesn't heal the same, and it's fucking, it's an awful, awful recovery. Not a chance he plays again. If it's as bad as it is.
But what's this video?
He's fucking sprained his ankle.
What's he actually done in this video, though? That's what I'm asking. On the other point of view on this, he's just stood there, chucked.
He's literally just on the field, standing there, throwing the ball. He's not moving a hell of a lot. But after an Achilles, I don't believe after Achilles injury, he should be on the field doing that. I'm not a doctor, but
that's become clear in everything you've said over the last 2 or 3 minutes. but
just because I forgot what the fucking injury was. is irrelevant. I don't have his fucking notes in front of me, and I try not to pay attention to that fucking clown or the circus in New York.
I'm picturing you at the end of his bed with his clipboard, making
smashing it into his ankle. Go and hide in a box now, you dickhead.
Get in touch with Nate if you need any medical advice. He'll help you out. Specifically,
I
mean, on
I can imagine a few worse people to go to, if I'm being completely honest. Aaron Rodgers' doctor, for instance.
Pat McAfee.
Yeah.
All right, Lions Bucks. I picked. I don't really want to talk about the game. Actually, we touched on this earlier when talking. Nate, you brought them up with teams that actually we think might be all right. I think the Lions might be all right, and I'll tell you for why. For the first time in the history of the Detroit Lions, which goes back some years, they've got a defense. They've never had a defense. For all the years, of Megatron and Stafford, and when they were all right offensively, going back to the years of Barry Sanders being all right offensively, they never, ever, ever, ever had a defense. And now they've got a defense. And they've still got, like, Jared Goff is what it is, but he'll win you some games anyway. And when they've got defense, the same, but it's still the Lions, and they'll find a way to mess it up. Of course they will. But logically, there's, like, you look at it, Pat, you said they're 5-1 and they're the only 5-1 team to beat a 5-1 team, which
they're
presumably the Chiefs. But yeah, logically, they look great.
Yeah, they're in the position that the Rams are in when they went to the Super Bowl, aren't they? Where they've got a good enough defense to make up for some of Jared Goff's deficiencies.
Yeah.
And they've also got good coaching. They're being coached up a level, I think.
I'm not sure they've got intelligent coaching, but they've got a coach who will motivate and will absolutely get that locker room fired up every single week. Like, you run through walls for that guy.
We have to remember the Bucks are 3-2, but they're not a great team by any measure. They're a very beatable 3-2 team. Well, I think the strangest thing about the Lions at the moment is that not only are they 5-1, which is like top of the fucking league, like they're one of what, 4-5-1 teams. They're 3 games clear at the top of the NFC North, which is bizarre. But they haven't lost away from home yet this season. They're 3-0 on the road.
Who beat them? It was Seattle, wasn't it? Or something
Seattle,
bizarre.
Seattle in Detroit? I feel like that's correct.
I feel like that's correct. And I don't think we need to fact check that. Let's just assume it is. knowing, secretly hoping that Pat is currently fact checking that.
No, I am. I am. Yeah, week two, home against the Seahawks, lost 37-31.
Yeah.
But what a game. What a game that was. That was a great game.
Classic Lions of old.
You don't mind losing like a fucking 68-point game late on if it's been exciting, do you? Especially when you're the Lions.
I guess.
They've lost a lot of very bleak games for most of their history, so
I just want a game to be exciting once.
you might have like 2 or 3 years of not having any of that.
Thanks.
had to slip it in, sorry.
Oh, it's fair. That's the worst part.
Any opportunity.
Yeah, it's I think I'm all right with it right now. I've given up trying to convince myself that there's reasons to be optimistic. I'm at the acceptance stage at the moment. I don't know what comes next. There'll be just a win to give me hope, and I'll change my opinion again, but maybe not. Maybe it'll be 2-15. Who knows? Any other NFL business? Pat, what have I missed that's worth talking about?
Now there's a question. We didn't mention either play calling or bad execution of a play getting Trevor Lawrence injured, apart from very briefly. And with Thursday night football coming up, that's a concern. Particularly when we also lost Tyson Campbell to a hamstring injury because he was playing on punt return special teams. Not punt return, the other one, punt defence special teams. Which does beg the question, how many cornerback ones get risked on special teams as well as their cornerback one duties? But I don't pay close enough attention to special teams to know that, obviously.
I mean, if your cornerback one can catch the ball, then that's like a reason to deploy them. Depends what they do, depends what role exactly it is, but like just putting in somebody because they're supposedly a punt returner and you don't care if they get hurt for their other duties and they go and muff punts all the time, that's not ideal.
Yes. So it's a tough position for a young slot receiver.
Yeah. You always feel they can't win with that though. Like for exactly what you describe. But it is what it is. Anything else?
I mean, as we say, it was a fairly quiet week, so I can't think of anything that stands out.
That's good. All right, what about week 7? It's my favorite week of the year, by the way, coming up.
You're on a bye.
Yeah. just enjoy it.
I hate a bye week. I really hate a bye week.
Do you? Oh, no. Yeah. I love...
I just think it's stupid.
Well...
I genuinely think that if you're going to put byes in, I think there should be 2 or 3 of them. I think having 1 week where you don't play football doesn't help with injury at all. You might get one player back. There should be 2 or 3. 15, you play 17 games a season. It's nonsense. Nonsense that there's 1 week, especially when some teams are doing it in week 5 and have to play 12 consecutive weeks. Fuck off.
Sack off the preseason. Just have a couple of joint practices.
One cares about preseason. Have 3 weeks of preseason where you have this week we're playing this team, this week we're training with this team, this week we're training with this team, or 2 or 3 weeks. Fuck off those preseason games. Fuck off the Pro Bowl game.
Yeah.
Everybody wins. Fucking body wins.
I'm all right with having the preseason games. Just don't bother filming them or selling tickets to them.
we'll allow them to exist.
But the problem is, right, like with these preseason games is you see hardly any proper legitimate starters taking serious snaps. So you're not even getting match fit. So what's the fucking point?
Touché.
There is none. It's all about the bottom line. It's all about money. Fuck them.
So as I was saying, my favourite week. But like, even if it's a Thursday night football, you're going to have this as well, Pat, this week. As you said, you could just enjoy the Sunday without the like agony of the depression
of all the of supporting the Titans.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't wait. Let's preview it. Some OSPs starting with the aforementioned Jacksonville Jaguars at New Orleans.
Jacksonville should come into this game as favourites, but with some questions over Trevor Lawrence's injury status this week, the Saints might just fancy their chances on, let me check my notes on the Saints' surface, home turf.
Detroit at Baltimore. The last time the Lions won in Baltimore, it was against the Colts, but this may be all about to change. I'm calling a road win right here.
4-0, baby.
Las Vegas at Chicago.
The one silver lining to this game is that it's not in prime time, especially if it ends up being Hoyer versus Bagent.
I hope it's Hoyer. That's where we're at with that. Cleveland at Indianapolis. After beating the Niners, the Browns are definitely going to lose to the Colts. Buffalo at New England.
This one is going to be an absolute slugfest.
Washington at New York Giants.
This one is shit off if ever I've seen one.
Atlanta at Tampa Bay.
A massive game in the NFC South, of very little interest anywhere else.
Pittsburgh at LA Rams. 9:05 p.m. kickoff. So just as a couple of thrilling games are coming to a close on Red Zone, they'll irritate you by showing you some meaningless plays from the opening drive of this one. Arizona at Seattle.
After a surprisingly decent start to the season, the Cardinals are playing the football the rest of us expected, and the Seahawks will most likely dominate the bad Cards defense in the red zone.
Green Bay at Denver.
Oh, Packers. Oh, you poor souls. The boot's on the other foot after all these years, and the Lions are very eager to stomp you with it.
LA Chargers at Kansas City.
The Chiefs can approach this one with a relaxed week of practices, as there isn't a team in the league who are better equipped or more experienced at finding new and creative ways of beating the Chargers than the Chargers.
Miami at Philadelphia. Finally, a primetime game worth staying up for. This could be absolute box office. And finally, did I just say finally? I don't know. San Francisco at Minneapolis. Minneapolis, Minnesota, whatever they're called. Vikings.
A nice bounce back game for San Francisco if they've got enough fit players to field a team.
They don't need fit players, they're good enough anyway. Just Shanahan with some AI bots, that'll do.
Christian McCaffrey would finish third or fourth in the rushing rankings with one leg.
Yeah. Rich doesn't half make a fuss about it, doesn't he?
Oh, he's such a prima donna.
Yeah. Any other business?
I've got one.
Have you?
I've got one. I have a pre-prepared one.
Pre-prepared? Or have you got notes? I hope you got notes.
I've literally got like a 3-page document here that I've been making notes because you sent an agenda so I can actually plan what I'm going to say.
Bloody hell. This is
I do this shit properly. You can tell I host the fucking broadcast podcast, can't you? Actually, I don't make notes for my own podcast, but
well, that's the beauty.
You know stuff about Stevenage.
That's the beauty about being a host is that you don't need to. You just
let everybody else do shit. Yeah,
but it quite often turns out you have an opinion that you want to voice anyway, and it just comes out naturally. Any other business? Well, you can go last because we've generated some excitement there. I'm going to kick off by saying that I just had a brilliant weekend.
Nice.
Yeah. The game on Sunday afternoon was neither here nor there. It was my daughter's birthday. She had a nice time. I wasn't there for a lot of it.
I'm a bad father.
She's something ending with an 8. That may or may not have another digit. But just, yeah, hanging out with lots of really nice people Friday, Saturday. And Greg Kett. So, yeah.
I was going to say, and Greg Kett, because Greg sent us some videos of you being a prick.
Yeah, I don't want to take responsibility for that. I did not want to do that. I wanted to say to you, Nate, what he asked me to say, but I didn't want to say it to Pat.
I mean, the good news is Nate will have heard what you had to say and I won't. So yeah, that's
fine. That it's all good. Never, ever play that video. The problem with Greg is he's the sort of person...
I'm going to put it on Twitter now.
Greg's, I've already been tagged
it's
into
already,
it on Twitter.
It's already been on there. Greg will post that repeatedly between now and whenever he dies in any context. It will never disappear.
Anytime anybody with the name Nate does anything remotely awful, it's just going to be cut to him going, Nate, you're a dirty bastard.
Is that what I said?
Yeah, I think so. Something along those lines. You're like, Pat, I hope you lose this weekend, and Nate, you're a dirty bastard. Well, all right, cheers, mate.
I thought it was worse than that.
Fuck you too.
Oh, well. So there you go. Pat.
I did an Indian cookery course on Saturday. It was a weird way to spend 4 hours because we basically just rocked up to someone's house in Alexandra Palace and he showed us how to cook some shit. We had like gas camping stoves on a table in his conservatory, and six of us cooked some foods, and it was mostly like heat some oil, put some spices in it, put some protein sauce in it, and then leave it for a bit. So I learned why my home attempts at curry aren't as thick as the stuff you get at Indian restaurants, and that's largely due to the fact that I don't spend
quantities of oil.
Yeah, you know, 24 hours making like cashew pastes and stuff, which you just kind of brought in from the kitchen later on and went, oh yeah, wang a bit of this in. Oh, now it's nice, but we haven't learned to make that. That just came out of your fridge. Okay. But yeah, it was an interesting way to spend an afternoon. I don't think I've rushed back for a second one, but I might try some new stuff at home as a result of it.
I like the idea of that. But you've not giving it the most glowing review.
I didn't enjoy the guy's teaching style, which is a nice way of saying I think he was a bit of a prick. And, you know, if I had six strangers in my house, I'd probably come across as a bit of a prick as well. But, you know, he chose to run that business, so that's on him.
Yeah, that's the bottom line with this, surely.
I don't think if you had six guests paying you for the privilege of imparting knowledge, you would be a prick to them at all, Pat. I believe that you would be very, very open and a very good host.
I think Pat would give you value for money.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not suggesting that he's going to teach me anything about cooking, but
what would Pat teach in that situation? What would make you part with your cash to learn round at Pat's?
Now, this is going to sound incredibly big-headed, but I'm not sure I'd pay Pat to teach me anything. I'm not a chemist, so maybe something about chemistry.
Yeah, could do a bit of that. I'm not a proper chemist either, according to the missus. I'm just, a jobber. That's fine.
But like, the things that I have interest in, I'd like to think that... I mean, actually, the NFL, probably. That would be something that Pat could genuinely teach me something about, because I know about the Colts, and I know about the Colts since I've supported them. Anything that's come before, I'm like, I don't give a fuck.
That's not a good way to be learning if you don't give a fuck.
Hence my bewilderment at questions that span the years of the NFL before 2010.
Like, who was playing for the Texans in 2002? That sort of thing.
Right, exactly. One, who the fuck cares? And two, who the fuck fucking cares?
All right. Finish the show, Nathaniel.
Oh, don't call me that, you dickhead. It's not even like a longer version of Adam that I can retaliate with, is there? I got blocked on Twitter this week by both Rachel Riley and Keir Starmer.
Hey!
Keir Starmer!
Keir Starmer, yeah.
That's got to take some doing. Do Polodike of like major political parties read replies from idiots like you?
Apparently. I got blocked by both of them because...
Rachel Riley's not a surprise.
I gave them pelters for being critical. I was being critical of them for defending Israel and incorrectly blasting Palestine instead of Hamas. Human rights aren't something that you should... Human rights aren't... They should not discriminate based on colour or creed. And if you're condemning both... And if you're not condemning both Hamas and the Israeli response, you're a fucking cunt. So I availed them to that opinion. I let them know that they're pieces of shit. I mean, I think what I said to Rachel Riley was, you only care about human rights when those humans are Jewish and not Muslim. You're a cunt. Oh, no, I think I said you're a disgrace. Which, you know, ever since she went after Jeremy Corbyn, I was like, okay, well, you're a piece of shit. And I've frequently let her know. She finally blocked me. And then Keir Starmer, or rather Keir Starmer's PR team, because he doesn't look at Twitter, does he?
Well, this is the aspect that was surprising me, like of why they'd bother to block you. But
I mean, I don't know why any of them read any of the responses.
Exactly.
But I was rather scathing in my reply to him. I can't even remember what I said, but you know, there were expletives, and Twitter advised me that I should probably delete the tweet. So I did, but not before they blocked me.
You get this classic, most people don't tweet like this. I'm not fucking most people.
Yeah, so sometimes I'll press it. Very rarely I'll just press delete straight away there. Usually I'll edit and remove the swear words. But on occasion I will just say, no, fuck it, they're having it, and I'll press tweet. And I know that, you know, I was banned on this account for 2 years because I called someone a cunt on Twitter. So it's always a bit touch and go when I just say tweet, but then somebody reported it. So I got a little notification saying, oh, someone doesn't like your retweet. So I was like, oh, better delete it. Mm. I'll play Elon's game. I've also told him regularly in the past that he's a prick as well.
Elon?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's ironic when it's him that's brought you back.
It's him that brought me back. Yeah, but I'm not going to kiss his ass just because he gave me access to a fucking social media app.
Surely he's got bigger fish to fry than your Twitter.
Yeah. Well, that's the same about
Keir Starmer. So
that whole situation was amazing. Like I my Twitter account got permabanned two and a half years ago because I called someone a cunt for being a cunt. I replied saying I appealed the decision. Said, what's the point of this service if I can't call someone a cunt when they're being a cunt? Apparently, that wasn't grounds for unbanning me. So I was like, well, yeah, I didn't actually give him a good reason, I suppose. So then I left it, and then I saw him when he took over Twitter. I saw that he said, "I'm going to review every single banned account." I was like, "Oh, hello!" So I logged into the account I hadn't been able to log into for years, and submitted an appeal. And I just said, "Elon said," and it got unbanned. And I thanked him. I thanked him, but literally, my first tweet was, "I'm back, baby." Thanks, Elon, you bellends. Sorry, it was literally thanks at Elon Musk, you bellends.
So ridiculous. Yeah. Never change. Yeah.
Ah, what's the point?
That's another one done. Another one in the books, I reckon.
Yeah.
Cheers, guys. Don't know where Craig is. He said he was...
Yeah. Ofsted. Sorry.
Probably. But he's busy now. He's got like other priorities and stuff.
He's got heightened responsibilities in exciting opportunities. So why wouldn't he ditch us fuckers?
Where's Mark this week?
Oh, who cares?
Oh, you're right. Let's get out.
He'd only be whinging about the fact that the Bills were bad in a victory.
But you know what? I bet he'd be denying the PI. He'd be saying it's not PI.
Of course he would.
He'd absolutely be all over that.
Absolutely no objectivity from a Bills fan. I'm only surprised.
Years and years and years, he's had no respect for officiating in the NFL. It's disgusting.
I don't think any of us have, Adam.
No. Even when they get it correct. Right, let's go. Done. Bye. Yada, yada, yada.
Waiting for something funny to be said so we can
we've got
a post, like,
if you wouldn't mind getting on with post. It yeah, so please, whenever you're ready.
Well, none of you fuckers enjoy any of my jokes, so I'm not going to tell a joke.
All right. I told a joke to Delaney Walker on Saturday.
I saw the photos of that.
Well, did you say you
do you know what I said? Proper dad joke.
God.
I shook his hand and like he sort of had to shout in his ear to be heard because it was really loud in there. And I just went, what an absolute pleasure this is for you to meet me. That's what I said.
You're such a bellend.
He loved it.